Okay. Welcome to the City of Derby Pension Board meeting. It is a special meeting today, Wednesday, January 28th at 6 p.m. This is a hybrid meeting and I am calling it to order at 6:02 p.m. I am Barbara Montalvo. I am the City Treasurer for the City of Derby. And before we begin, if everyone has a copy of their agenda, if not, we will read out the items. So now, after we've done our call to order, we're going to stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance. Please join us. I pledge allegiance to the flag
The
of
United States of
the States of America and to
America,
the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, and I'm going to ask City Clerk to join us with the roll call.
Jennifer DeRoche.
Present.
Mark Carfalo is here. Michael Gray. Steve Iacone.
Here.
George Kurtica.
Present.
Barbara Montalvo.
Present.
Eileen Murphy.
Here.
Okay, the record should reflect that we have six members present, so we have a quorum.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the public portion of the meeting.
So, if any member of the public would like to come forward, state your name and address for the record, and you can address the board. The record should reflect that there are no members of the public in the room, but there are a number of people on Zoom. So, if you're on Zoom and you would like to address the board, this would be the time to do that. And just unmute your mic and state your name and address for the record. And if you'd like to do that, this would be the time. So, if there's anybody from the public that would like to speak, please unmute and state your name and address for the record. Anybody from the public? We'll ask a third time. Anybody from the public that would like to address the board, please unmute your mic. Hearing none, then we'll close the public portion.
Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is to elect a chair of the Pension Board for the 2025-2027 term. We will open the floor for nominations.
Jennifer, I nominate Barbara Montalvo.
Do we have a second to this nomination?
I'll second the nomination.
Okay. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Asking one last time, are there any other nominations for Chair of the Pension Board for 2025-2027?
I move that we close the nominations and unanimously elect Barbara Montalvo as chair of the commission, chair of the board.
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. So, everyone who is in favor of electing Barbara Montalvo as the chair of the Pension Board for 2025 to 2027, please say aye.
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 Anyone against? Anyone abstaining? Okay, the ayes have it.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. The next order of business is to adopt a regular meeting schedule for 2026. Thank you very much. We have a proposed quarterly meeting schedule of tonight, and then the remainder of the meetings for this year would be Wednesday, April 29th, Wednesday, July 29th, and Wednesday, October 28th of 2026.
So move to adopt that as the regular meeting schedule for the Derby Pension Board.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, that was Mark and Eileen as a second. And I'll entertain a vote. All people in favor of this schedule say aye.
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 Anyone Against the schedule, please say nay. Any abstentions? Okay, this schedule has been adopted. It will be filed with the city clerk's office tomorrow.
Madam Chair, just a point of information for the members who are on Zoom. I will mail you the hard copies of the presentation that's going to be made tonight just for your convenience and for your files.
Thank you very much. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the pension plan update as of 8/18/2025, Freedom Investment Management, Inc. So I'm going to open the floor to our representative from the investment advisor. Ben, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Madam Chair. Pleasure to meet with the board. This is our first opportunity to present to the board to give an update to the pension plan since taking over investment management of the plan back in, I would say, roughly the second half of 2023. Just for everyone's edification, we are Freedom Investment Management. We're a registered investment advisor based in Hartford. We've been around since 2005. I joined the firm as their chief investment strategist roughly 10 years ago and oversee the investment portfolios, investment strategy for Freedom. And so we want to take this opportunity to just kind of level set with the board where we are now, where we have been, and just talk about how the plan is positioned. We include in our comments our year-end market commentary and our year-ahead outlook. We don't anticipate any major changes to the overall asset allocation for the fund, but we'll get into that in a bit. Also, just for a bit of history, our relationship with the plan started, I would say, roughly in the second half of 2023. We initially responded to a request for a proposal for pension plan services that was issued by the City of Derby in July of 2022. And so through subsequent responses and interviews, we were retained by the city to take over investment management of the pension plan from the prior investment manager, Beeren Wealth Consulting. So there was a period of transition before we formally took over oversight of the plan, both the public market assets as well as the private and alternative assets. We had to get investment management agreements set up, authorizations to receive access to information and statements and overall fund strategy information. And so far, things are looking great for the fund, both on the public market side and the private side. We also are been in contact with the USI, formerly Hooker and Holcomb. Sorry, the name escaped me, but they were the actuarial consulting firm used by City of Derby to provide actuarial services in terms of projecting pension liabilities, pension assets, the overall funding status of the plan. And we've been in contact with them. We get their GASB reports. The last GASB report we have is from fiscal year 2022, where they're projecting a 6.5% expected rate of return. And we correspond with Brian Hall, we correspond in terms of setting annual capital market assumptions, which are updated on a fiscal year basis. And so we provide inputs as to what we think the long-term capital market projections are for common asset classes like equities, fixed income, and the alternatives program. So with that, I will go ahead and share. First, I want to share... let's see. Can everyone see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So first thing we did when we were retained by the plan was to adopt an investment policy statement. This is pretty standard practice for pension plans to have as a framework for how the plan assets are invested, what the roles and responsibilities are, what the benchmarks are, and the overall objectives. And so what we laid out here was an investment policy statement that's been adopted by the city. And it basically lays out the overall plan architecture, you know, what the purposes, goals are, time horizons, investment objectives. What we had an input on was to update the asset allocation to reflect not only what the current plan was invested in, but what we would like to target over the long term. And so what we have here on page four is the overall targeted breakdown of the asset classes that the plan is invested in, starting with equities, which are publicly traded equities. We look at equities from a global context. So the U.S. region, which is the biggest region by market cap within the world, followed by developed markets, developed foreign markets, which are Europe and Japan primarily, but also Australia, Singapore, Canada, and then emerging markets. And then following that is publicly traded fixed income. So bonds that are traded mostly publicly, think government securities, corporate securities, structured securities like mortgage-backed securities. And then there's the alternative investments program. The alternative investments is kind of a catch-all for anywhere from like a multi-strategy hedge fund to private loans that target the middle market borrowing market. There's some venture capital, some structured products in there as well. And overall, the reason why we lump this into alternatives is because ultimately they're considered illiquid assets. So they're not publicly traded. They're not available for immediate next day execution. Each strategy has their own windows in terms of how assets can be liquidated upon request. Some are a finite investment time horizon where basically you commit to invest in a particular fund or strategy for a certain amount of time. Capital is returned to the plan over time along with distributions. The fund then closes, it liquidates, and that's the that. And those are basically vintage year type funds that are in essence lock up the capital for a certain period of time. When we inherited the plan, the program, I would say, in the illiquid portion of the assets, and again, it ranges from more conservative to more aggressive, but overall, the illiquid portion of the plan was roughly 40%. And so that has dwindled down over time. I think we'll see in a minute that it's not 40%, it's just around 30% and declining. But our goal is to get the alternative investments portion to a target weight of 20% of overall plan assets. And that's going to happen with attrition, basically as certain strategies wind down, and we'll show this in our presentation, capital will naturally be returned to the plan and in the form of distributions. And then we will redeploy those into the rest of the asset allocation with an overall, again, with an overall target of 20% for alternative assets. And I will stop there if anyone has any questions on the investment policy statement.
I don't have any. All right, then you can continue.
Sure. So what I'll do now is I will share with you the performance report that we sent out yesterday, and this is dated as of January 27th, 2026. So I'm assuming everyone can see the presentation. This is the current breakdown of the plan assets. So plan assets as of December 31st is approximately 21.87 million. And I say approximately because at this time, we don't yet have year-end marked values for the private alternative investments. We have some, and they come in over the course of the quarter, depending on the strategy. But right now, we're just displaying the values of the alternatives program as of September 30th. So the public markets, equities, fixed income, and cash values are as of December 31st, and the alternatives are as of September 30th, and that's why you see the total assets at 21.87 million. Public equities make up 60%, public fixed income 6%, cash and cash equivalents 4%, and the alternatives are 30%. The publicly traded securities, when we transitioned the program from Buren Wealth, we moved the assets over to Schwab, Charles Schwab. So that's where the assets are custodied. That's where all the cash wires are handled as well for things like distributions. Anytime distributions come in from the alternatives program, they go into the cash accounts at Schwab. We have both a cash reserve account for immediate transactions, and then for cash that just sits for transition related purposes, we hold it in a Schwab money market account. And so this is the breakdown of the publicly traded program, 15.4 million as of December 31st. We have it, the asset allocation is somewhat aligned with what Buren was doing in terms of style allocations. They were using actively managed, separately managed account portfolios that were being managed by traditional active managers through the Envestnet platform. We opted to transition that program over to lower cost ETF models that reflect the underlying styles of what Buren was doing, but more from just a targeting risk standpoint. So, Buren had a large cap value active portfolio. We moved that into a value, large cap value ETF portfolio, similarly with large growth and the small cap programs. And then separately, there's a program that was kind of a catch-all, invested in various global equity type of mandates and strategies. We decided to consolidate that into a model portfolio that we manage called the 3D Global 100 program. It's basically a global equity model that invests in in low cost factor-based ETFs, exchange traded funds that invest broadly, that are diversified across the market, across different styles, but seek to capture long-term risk premiums. And then in the fixed income portion, this was again handled through an SMA program that we transitioned over to an ETF program. And just for, for simplicity, for transparency, we feel that ETFs better capture the public market side of fixed income securities rather than the pension plan having to own individual bonds and report on them and keep track of them. This is the performance at the household level of the plan since we started tracking it in October of 2023. So, unfortunately, we don't have the entire performance history of the plan because, again, there's that discontinuity with having taken over from Buren. But since we've been tracking it, we keep track of the public side of the plan assets through Charles Schwab and through our portfolio accounting system called GeoWealth. And what this shows here is basically when we adopted the plan assets and how they have grown over time. The blue line that you see there is just cash flows that are in and out. You'll note that we do make periodic distributions out of the public market portions whenever there are pension distributions that are made. But the time-weighted rate of return since taking over a plan is an annualized 18.5%. So again, last several years coming out of COVID, apart from what happened in 2022 when the Fed was raising interest rates and the Russia-Ukraine conflict first broke out, it's been a very strong run for equities overall. And since 2022, fixed income has actually done reasonably well with interest rates having settled down as inflation levels have dropped from their post-COVID peak levels. Overall, since inception, 18.5% annualized, and this is something that we can track quarterly. And as I said, we don't anticipate making any significant changes to the mix of assets that are held within the public portion. They are more or less aligned with our long-term asset allocation that we specified in the investment policy statement. Here's just a quarter-to-date breakdown of the individual strategies that the plan is invested in. As I mentioned, most of these are index-based strategies to reflect different styles based on the weightings that we inherited. And so you can see here that, you know, for this the fourth quarter, for instance, it was a good year to be invested globally because international markets have outperformed the U.S. It was also good a quarter to be invested in value, both large cap value and small cap value, as some of the bloom of the AI-driven growth trade had come off in the fourth quarter. Since inception, it's been generally a better period for large cap growth investing. You can see that large growth is up 28.25%. And that largely reflects the hyperscaler Mag 7 stocks that have just run up since the launch of ChatGPT in November 23. AI still remains the predominant investment theme that investors are excited about and where capital is flowing. And so whether you're a memory maker in Southeast Asia or semiconductor fab facility or equipment maker like ASML in Europe, pretty much anything aligned with AI or in close proximity to the AI data center built out has done extremely well over this cycle. So if there are there any questions on the public portion before I get into the alternative side?
I don't have any. Does anyone have any questions? Okay, go ahead and get into the alternative side.
So the alternatives, and admittedly, this is a good program that Barron had put together. What they basically did was they set up what are called feeder funds, where they basically have a master account held with the fund provider, with the manager, and then they're able to kind of parse out sub-accounts that feed into that master fund in order to get investments. That's what Derby was invested in. So even though Derby has invested in small amounts with these individual funds, because of the feeder structure that Barron has set up, they're able to invest, even though they would be, Derby would be below the standalone account minimums. So when we inherited the program and we did our due diligence and we got in touch with the managers, we didn't see that there were cause for any immediate changes that needed to be made or liquidations or transfers out. So we're basically monitoring the program as it progresses. And so overall, we wouldn't make any recommendations to the program itself. But this is the breakdown by category of what the plan is invested in. Overall, the plan assets as of September 30th held in the alternatives portion is 6.87 million. As I said, it's about 30% of the overall plan assets. At the top are what are called the arsenal funds. There's both general funds as well as what are called specific carve-out type funds that are invested in separate companies. Basically, when a company gets large and it's very promising and looks to, you know, to operate kind of on a standalone basis, they'll basically carve out that company and do a separate capital raise. And so what you see here is you have at the top Arsenal 3 and Arsenal 4, which make up the bulk of the overall allocation. These are funds with certain vintage years that are invested in various companies. I would say among VC firms, Arsenal tends to be more conservative. They're not invested in pure speculative angel startups or companies with no revenue. These are viable companies that have demonstrated revenue, demonstrated product, addressable markets, and are well on to their growth plan. So not very speculative early stage startups. And then you have the three separate investments, CART, Elevate, and Sayari, which were basically spun out companies or funds that that have raised additional capital. We'll see in a minute. There is a marginal amount of capital call that still exists with Arsenal. It's the Growth 4 Fund. They're basically when you make an investment in a vehicle, an LP, and in a limited partnership structure, you commit to investing a certain amount. So let's say you commit to invest 500,000 in a certain strategy. Well, you don't send over all 500,000 of that at once. It's basically called over time as investment opportunities arise and the manager wants to put the capital work. And that's what's called a capital call. Most of the capital calls across all these funds have already been done. There is, as I said, still an outstanding capital call from Growth Equity 4. So anytime that happens, then we just wire money over to Arsenal to meet that capital call. And then following that is Boyd Watterson. They are based in the Cleveland, Ohio area. They're a specialty landlord focused on government agencies, both federal and state level agencies, where they basically will lease out buildings or in offices to government agencies. This is a very specialized type of lending relationship or landlord leasing type of relationship that Boyd has established itself in. I would say it's more akin to a standard fixed income type of risk than it is an alternatives type of risk because the cash flows that they generate from the leasing tend to be very steady. I mean, we're talking about the government here. Even during shutdowns and during the pandemic, the government was still paying its leasing costs. So I would say this is of the program, this is the most conservative. And these are in like evergreen funds as well, so there is no expiration to the funds. And every now and then they'll look to sell buildings and acquire new ones, but the main focus of them is making sure they have maximum tenant occupancy in the buildings that they lease to the government. And then the third category, the next three, Entrust, GoldenTree, and Golub Capital, we would categorize as kind of more speculative lending type of risk. So think private credit, middle market lending, investing in what are called collateralized loan obligations, which is basically a way to invest in leveraged loans on a leveraged basis. These are specialty lenders that require a high degree of skill and specialization. And you can see that Entrust focuses on what I call the CLO market. GoldenTree is a specialty credit investor. The one of their specialties is investing in distressed situations. And then Golub Capital is a middle market lender focusing on smaller companies, well established but smaller equity sponsored companies that are generating cash flow of anywhere from call it 10 to 20 million or 50 million, sorry. And then you have Grey Wolf Container Ship Opportunities Offshore Fund. This is a specialty leasing company that focuses on container ships. And so when this fund was launched, they basically bought ships to then lease out shipping contracts. And these aren't the deep sea global shipping companies like Maersk. These are ones that focus on kind of the localized route. So think LTL, long haul carriers from picking up cargo from a train, for instance. They tend to be kind of like the secondary shipping containers. And so that's a specialty strategy that basically looks to make money off the leasing rates and then sell the ships in the after in the secondary market at a profit. And then finally, we have Verition International Multi-Strategy Fund. This is a multi-strategy hedge fund, very risk controlled, but basically they have teams of traders putting on trades that basically are designed to capture call it either risk premiums or arbitrage, pricing arbitrages or spreads within the marketplace. It's monitored such that one team can't blow up the fund. I think at most one team can be up to 3% of risk capital. But overall, it's designed to be a non-correlated strategy that takes advantages of pricing discrepancies. And so it can be invested in public markets. It can be invested in esoteric markets like electricity. It can be invested globally in emerging markets and so forth. So they have very specialized trading teams set up to take advantage of historical spreads or arbitrage type opportunities. And so I want to wrap up with this categorization. I mentioned this earlier about how the alternatives program is structured. There are strategies that are invested in what are called open-ended or evergreen funds. So basically funds that don't mature or wind down or close down because they met their vintage date that the memorandum officially had set out. So in this case, it's Boy Watterson. The funds are evergreen. The leases are open-ended. I note here, what the withdrawal policies are. So, and in the event that the pension plan wants to withdraw capital from these funds, there's usually a 60-day notice that needs to be given prior to quarter end, and then depending on liquidity. Basically you can get back $250,000 in increments back from the plan with that notice. Entrust is a little different because they have within that strategy, it's sub-advised by Grey Wolf, the same group that's managing the container ship group. But basically there are like five different vintages of CLO structures that are embedded within the Entrust fund. And several of those are beyond what are called their reinvestment date. So they're basically paying down. Some are newer. And basically what happens is that as the structures, once they're beyond their reinvestment period, they'll basically start returning capital first to the lenders to those funds, which are the higher rated vehicles or tranches in the fund before the equity investors ultimately receive their capital back. So this is something that again we continue to monitor, and there's nothing that would prompt us to want to take capital out of. But as capital gets returned to Derby, then we'll likely not look to reinvest in newer issue or newer structures that they launch. And then finally, with Verition, it's basically a monthly redemption window subject to an 8% liquidity gate, meaning that if liquidity redemptions exceed 8% of the total plan assets to protect the other investors, they will gate the fund from further redemptions beyond that 8%. And that just requires a 45-day notice. Funds with a hard close until dissolution. So these are funds that have a vintage date as set out by the investment memorandum and that are expected to close at a certain point. Arsenal is newer, so they're further away from their redemption dates, and really it depends on the kind of liquidity event. So if their companies are sold to, say, another backer, a private investor, or if they're sold to a strategic investor, or if they're taken public, that would be considered a liquidity event, and those distributions would be returned to the investors. Ones that are looking to wind down are Grey Wolf and Golden Tree. Grey Wolf is in the process of selling the second of two remaining ships that are in the portfolio. They originally had five. Two remain, and one is in the process of being sold, and the other looks like it's going to be sold in the first half of next year. So that fund will likely wind down in the middle of next year, of this year actually, and we'll likely not look to roll those proceeds into newer funds that they're launching on container ships. Similarly with Golden Tree, this is a fund that's basically winding down. They're waiting for one distressed investment to resolve itself. I believe it's related to Puerto Rico Water Authority, and they're looking to wind that down eventually. But basically, both Grey Wolf and Golden Tree are in the wind down stages. And then Golub Capital is beyond its reinvestment with International 12. We'll work with the board as to whether we want to redeploy any proceeds or final distributions from their Fund 12 into newer funds. But at this point, I would say too that we would likely look to maybe not roll that over as to be able to get closer to our 20% asset allocation target on private investments. And this is just kind of an overall breakdown of the program. What we show here are the inception dates of the vehicles, when Derby made the invest, when they or the original amount that was committed by Derby, how much of it has been drawn. So remember, I talked about how you have capital commitments and then you have capital calls. Well, most, if you look down here, most of the capital calls have been done. The exception is Equity 4. There's still roughly 100 or 200,000 left of capital call that can be drawn for Equity 4 because it is a newer fund. But overall, most of the other capital calls have already been met. And then finally, on performance, the performance has been good. You tend to evaluate alternative performance on what's called a Sharpe ratio or risk-adjusted basis, so performance adjusted for volatility. And what we should, this is for the third quarter. Fourth quarter looks like it was a good quarter so far based on kind of on the indications that we're seeing for the strategies. But longer term, since inception, net returns have been very strong. If you were to weigh all this together, it comes out to roughly 15% weight. And that market value for Entrust is incorrect. That should read about 350,000. I can send a corrected version of the table. But overall, the performance since inception of when the plan has invested has performed well. It's roughly annualized at 15%. And that is the presentation to the board and just kind of an interim update for the pension program. At this point, I can answer any questions. The last piece that I will mention too is the quarterly market or the year-end market commentary. We publish this on a quarterly basis, but the year-end market commentary tends to get in a little bit more depth about what happened, what really drove the market performance, as well as with some more year-ahead outlook statements. And in particular, what we do with the yearly piece is we provide a capital market projections update that is primarily price-based, focusing on what the current market yields are for equities, for fixed income, and for high yield and so forth. And we just lay out our methodology here. In terms of our long-term, and these are long-term capital market assumptions. They're not what our global equity is going to do in 2026. This is more about gravity playing a role here in terms of what you pay for today matters, will influence what you will likely earn in the long term in the future. So if you're paying a high price for equities or you're paying low yields for fixed income, that's really going to be the main driver of your capital market returns over the long term. And so going through our calculations, we are projecting for a 60-40 portfolio consisting of global stocks and U.S. investment grade bonds to return approximately, call it 6.2% nominal return or 4% on inflation adjusted basis using long run inflation assumptions that are being priced into the Treasury inflation protection market. If you're just looking at the S&P, it's even lower at 5.8%, and that's just because U.S. markets are much more expensive versus the rest of the world because of our mix of higher technology stocks that are more profitable that have are entrenched in their various markets and so forth. So, overall, we kind of have a more muted forward outlook. Things were a lot cheaper right after COVID, and certainly after Liberation Day of last April, markets had gotten pretty cheap, but then they rebounded quickly. And when it looked like that the tariffs regime that was being proposed was likely not going to be implemented. So, with that, again, I'll open up for any questions from the board.
I have a question. For the investments that are getting ready to hit their vintage dates, and I know that this is going back to the investment plan, the plan update. I know that you had mentioned you were trying to rebalance the investments to more closely match the investment policy statement because it's currently at 31% and you want to get it down to 20. What kind of presentation will you offer the board in advance of these things actually sunsetting so we have some time to review what the options are and decide, what we want? Or is that something that you're just going to completely take care of and present what you've done?
So our role as the investment manager on the plan gives us ultimately the discretion to invest in accordance with the as our fiduciary and as on the manager. We will certainly communicate with the board any updates to the allocation as they come in. I would say that we will learn of the timeline. With each quarter that passes, we get closer to seeing what the timeline is for the wind down of those investments. It's been kind of a long, slow running process, but it is anticipated that this year, at the very least, I would expect at some point this year, the Golden Tree Fund will wind down. And the Gray Wolf Fund, assuming the sale of their final ship closes, should wind down later this year as well. But they'll let us know well in advance of what this is, and then ultimately that capital will get returned, and in accordance with the asset allocation laid out in the investment policy statement, we will at the very least look to redeploy those strategies on a pro rata basis to the public market investments as we get closer to that 20% target on the private asset allocation. We don't anticipate bringing in any new funds or new strategies for the board to be invested in, partly because we feel like the fund is already overinvested in private and alternatives. And so we think that this timeline that we have set out and our expectations for the wind down of the funds that we mentioned should suffice in terms of bringing the plan closer to the target asset allocation.
Thank you. That's good
Sure.
to know. So I suppose that as the year goes on at our quarterly meetings, if there's any big changes on the shift of the funds, as you said, you would present them at that time.
Yes,
Okay.
we will definitely, and we'll communicate ahead of time as well with both staff and with the pension board, on an ad hoc basis as well, there are some notable updates to the plan that the board and staff should be made aware of as well. We have a data vault where we will upload statements, both custodial statements and investor statements from the plans. That staff and the board and the chair of the board will have access to as well. Any timely updates from that standpoint in terms of market values and so forth, we'll make sure that the city has access to.
Thank you very much. I don't have any other questions. Does anyone else on the in the meeting have any questions?
I have a question. So you're going to send us an updated or corrected version of the report, you said?
Yes. Yeah. As soon as this meeting ends, I'll make sure that interest value shows the correct amount, and I'll resend that.
Great. Thank you so much. And also, we have sent out in the past on a periodic basis. I forget the frequency of it, but pl pension plan statements. And we have received some calls regarding those. People are looking to find out their information. So I
Yeah,
just
in terms of like the individual statements,
yes.
so we don't serve as plan administrator. I can't recall. Unfortunately, my colleague John O'Connor, he has more of the operational background on the plan. I can't remember who the plan administrator is. Is it Aetna? I the name kind of escapes me off topic, but there is a separate plan administrator that handles distributions to the plan participants, and so they would have all that information at the plan participant level that the participants would be looking for.
I believe it was like Rich Sink or somebody, wasn't
Oh, USI. Yeah. So sorry. Rich Singh from USI, who is the actuary on the plan, is also the plan administrator. They provide the plan administration services. So, yeah. So you would reach out to USI for that.
it? Okay, Madam Chair, then maybe perhaps we should do that, because I don't think it's been done in at least a couple years, so people are looking for that.
Absolutely.
To hitchhike on what you're looking for, Mark, I think that we kind of need the pension liability and where the payroll and everything is, so we can visit the requests that we've seen come in for a cost of living increase without.
I've not seen that request. Is that, did somebody make that in writing?
I believe it came through the mayor's office that people were asking about it. And I think that we need to reach out to Rich and see where the liability is versus the fund itself. I mean, I don't think they've
You should
done
have
that.
gotten a GASB report for
Yes.
FY23,
For when? I'm s
fiscal year 2023. So usually it's done with a lag. I don't know if they've done FY24 yet, but Rich would have an update on the latest GASB.
I have a GASB report from USI dated June 30th, 2025.
Oh, they did update it for 2025. Okay. Would you mind sending us a copy of that?
Sure.
And perhaps we can just include that for our next agenda. But I, about the request, if there's going to be a request, I mean, I think it should be made in
I mean,
writing.
that's basically the
No, but
conversation
if
we've
there's going to
had.
be a request, there should be a process. It should be in writing so that everybody knows what it is and not, not have it be like the worst kept secret in the city, so that we like, if there's a qu request being made, then we should know what it is so we can evaluate it. Otherwise, we can't just guess what it is.
No, absolutely not. That's why I'm saying without that information, we can't even entertain the conversation about it because we don't know what the numbers are.
Right. So, but and that's one thing. The other thing is, though, the people who are looking to retire have not received an individual statement. Like, no, it was done. I can't remember when, but it was maybe 4 years ago, because we brought this to a head because it had not been done in the prior to Maria Conlin becoming the treasurer. So, and then it was done, but it's been a few years now. So other people now are contemplating retirement, so they would like to have their statements, which they're entitled to. So I think we should just make sure that we get that to everybody in the plan.
Okay, I've noted that, and I will reach out for a contact for this gentleman at USI, and then we will ask for the plan liability and assets and the status of the individual statements that are in arrears.
And what's his name again? I'm sorry, the
Rich
gentleman.
Sink.
Rich Sink.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other questions for Ben?
And just a note, when we get the corrected document, they'll be shared on the website in the profile for the meeting. If somebody goes to the meetings section of the website and go to this meeting of the pension board on January 28th, the documents will be there if somebody wants, and the video will be there too, so they'll be able to hear the presentation.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for your thorough presentation as well.
Oh,
Yes.
sure. Thank you very much for the thorough presentation, the documents you've sent already, sending us the updated document, and for fielding questions, Mr. Levine. If there's nothing else for Mr. Levine, we can move on to the final item on the agenda, which is adjournment. So I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
We will call this meeting adjourned. at 6:52 p.m. Thank you all for attending. Have a great evening.
Thank you.